The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We are rolling along on this very busy day before Thanksgiving, and so thankful that you choose to get up with us here as we come to you live, as always, from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. I didn't get the memo that we were wearing green today.
That's more like a sherbet green.
I can't wear Jets green. Like, that's like,
I can't do that. Well, it's butt bumping.
Oh, look, Sacho changed. Yes. Sacho puts the green on, too.
The green on, baby.
We got Nick. We got Sacho. We got Kmart. We got a show, ladies and gentlemen. Let's do it. It is time to get up with no rest for the weary. The boys back at it tomorrow. Can they recapture the magic in time to save Thanksgiving? Then, New York makes a giant move, but is it just the beginning of a total overhaul for Big Blue? That's the question. We'll have the answer. And then, history made. Why we're now in prime position for something we never would have dreamt was possible. All that and more on the way in this hour of Get Up. And we will get to all the football, but if you will permit us, we begin with what was a very special night for all of us at ESPN, and we hope for all of you who love sports, because a legend was back where he belongs. The great Dick Vitale doing the game last night, the moment of the night, doing one versus two just weeks after he was diagnosed with cancer at the age of 82, and his return was emotional.
Great being here, Dick. I didn't want to cry. I can't believe I'm sitting here. This is really a big thrill for me. I want to thank all you people. Sent me so many great messages. ESPN, Jimmy Pataro, all my buddies at ESPN. I want to thank certainly my family and all the fans. My, you've been unbelievable. On October 12th, Obi, I'll be honest with you, when they walked in and told me I had cancer, they thought it was mild duct cancer, and it was really going to be a serious surgery and all. I never dreamt at 82 that I'll ever be on courtside again, but to be here today, I'm sorry. I hope I don't cause a problem out there, but I feel so emotional.
It was wonderful to have him back. The voice of college basketball back where he belongs. He had one versus two, Gonzaga, UCLA. But unfortunately, he didn't have a great game because Gonzaga just dominated. That's Drew Timmy with the block, and now we're going the other way. And this is Andrew Nembhard with a three, and Gonzaga was off and running. They were up 13 there. Then they've got this fabulous freshman, the diaper dandy, as Dickie V would call him, Chet Holmgren. Look at him playing defense, swatting Peyton Watson. Gonzaga up 20 at the break. Now watch the freshman. Watch Holmgren. The defense on one end. Oh, but he's not done. He's taking it the length of the floor, and he's going to finish it himself with the slam. And you need to hear the call from our man, Dickie V.
Oh, come on, America! America, get the Notre Dame! Chet Holmgren, are you serious? Wow! We're talking to diaper daddy, kid out of high school!
I tell you what, that's medicine for him. It's medicine for all of us to hear Dick Vitale back behind the mic. And again, a dominant performance from the number one team in the country, Gonzaga, a 20-point win. Second time this year Gonzaga's taken on a top five team, and it's won both games by double digits, and their gauntlet continues. They will take on fifth-ranked Duke in Vegas on Friday, so we look forward to that. Okay, back to the NFL, where the Cowboys will host the Raiders tomorrow, just 4 days after failing to score a touchdown for the first time this season in a loss to the Chiefs. And the offense struggled in a variety of ways. Dak Prescott was part of the problem. He committed a season-high three turnovers with two picks and a fumble. His QBR was 10. That was the lowest in any game in his career. But maybe more significantly, the Cowboys just ignored the run. They rushed just 16 times against the Chiefs defense that entered, allowing over 4.5 yards per rush. Yesterday, Jerry Jones was talking about the Cowboys' inability to establish the run.
He has struggled when we didn't establish our running game, and we couldn't get that running game solid so that we could work off that running game. We went into this game thinking we'd run the ball two-thirds of the time. When you get compromised by how you're executing, then what can happen to you against Denver and what can happen to you against Kansas City? Very similar situations.
Okay, so before we get into all these other things, there's a million different pieces of this to unpack, and Kmart will run through some of their other injured players and all the rest of that. But just one more time on the rushing game. They took themselves out of it. They had 16 rushes in a game that was never out of reach when they are more than capable, they've shown you this season, of doing that. How do you read that, and how do they need to get that turned around tomorrow?
I think that it's because they have a very valuable quarterback, and they wanted to put it in his hands opposed to the running back's hands. So when you look at what they were able to do early in the season when they went on that six-game run, stretch there of wins, they were running the football consistently, very well. They're best in the NFL. Well, then you look at the Denver game. You look at some of these games that popped up, and it puts a question mark in your head of, okay, well, what's going on? And sometimes when you have a guy like Dak that you pay a lot of money to, there is a lot on his plate, and they want him to go out there and be the hero and be the savior. And when you go away from the running game, you're seeing some of those issues. When you become one-dimensional, defenses really can load up, and they can sit back and they can cover. And again, I just think the Cowboys, if they want to get back on track to where they were early in the season, they got to start running the football.
Sacho, jump in here.
Yeah, Nico, the Cowboys didn't go away from the running game. They were taken off of the running game by Kansas City's defense. That's the difference. Kansas City, as you know, you play defense. Kansas City says, okay, we know they're going to run it off first and 10. We call it P and 10, first and 10 after a change of possession. All of a sudden, they're running blitzes to stop the run. So they couldn't run the ball, right? It wasn't like Dallas is like, let's just throw the ball because we want to. They wanted to establish the run, and teams know that. And so teams like Kansas City, who was actually coming into form, said, we know we're going to dominate this team up front on first down, force them into second and long, force them to throw the ball, force Dak to beat us, and really force them to be one-dimensional. So this wasn't a case of the Cowboys saying, well, you know what? We're going to put it on our multi-million dollar quarterback. No, they were taken out of it because Kansas City said, we are a playoff caliber defense. Here's the fact of the matter. There are two seasons that happen. There's the quote-unquote first part of the season or even the regular season. Then there's football in November and December, which is when playoffs actually start. They don't start in January. They start in that December, November time. And Kansas City is playing at that playoff level. Dallas at this point is not.
Okay, there's a lot to... Before I came to Kmart, am I the only one confused? Did you change back into the red jacket? Didn't you have a green jacket on? What is going on here?
Just realized he couldn't compete with me.
Am I the only one?
So I think they're changing.
We're making magic
happen. Are we doing
Greeny,
this?
Greeny. Greeny, yeah. We call this TV magic, Greeny. You've been in the industry a long time. We make magic happen on TV.
I got fooled. I have to admit, I was fooled. Cindy is doing that. I had no idea she is changing his jacket color. I actually thought he went and changed his jacket. Okay, fair enough. Now, let's get down to business here. Because another of the Cowboys' problems is that they were playing without Amari Cooper, and they're playing without the left tackle, and C.D. Lamb gets a concussion in the second quarter. Where are they with regard to these injuries for tomorrow?
Okay, good news except for Amari Cooper. He's obviously still out with the COVID. But Ezekiel Elliott, he's expected to play even though he got hurt. He did practice yesterday fully. It was a light practice, but the team is optimistic about him on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Also, left tackle Tyron Smith. He's missed three games with the ankle injury, but he is expected to play tomorrow. And the big one is CeeDee Lamb. That's the big question mark because he's in the concussion protocol. And as it was explained to me, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, even tomorrow, he's got to clear some hurdles on the concussion protocol. But they are optimistic, so that's a good sign.
And so very quickly, just to settle, we got one not so worried about the Cowboys and one is worried. Where are we on our level of concern with the Cowboys going in right now?
I am not worried, Greeny, because I am one of the few people who actually was high on the Cowboys from the very beginning.
Right.
So I feel okay about them.
Okay.
They're a good team.
Lost two out of the last three, and we'll see. Tomorrow's a big day, and then they get New Orleans the following week. Meanwhile, their former coach, their longtime coach, Jason Garrett, lost his job yesterday in New York. A big shakeup and the Giants firing their offensive coordinator just hours after a Monday Night Football offensive meltdown in Tampa. They were coming off a bye. They managed just 215 total yards and 10 points, and the touchdown they got came off of a turnover in which they got set up and inside the 10-yard line. As a rookie in 2019, Daniel Jones threw 24 touchdowns in 13 games. In two seasons with Jason Garrett, he's thrown just 20 touchdowns in 24 games and 17 interceptions. So he has regressed. And there are probably a lot of factors that go into that. But when things go badly, it's sometimes the easiest thing to do is change one of the assistant coaches. And right. In this case, that's what they do. Does anyone else, can I just ask, does anyone find it peculiar
that they were just coming off their bye, which is a time when you do self-scouting and you have sort of a reset on your season. They had 2 weeks to make this change, and they don't, and then they fire Jason Garrett during what is a short week. They play Monday night. Now they turn around with a quick week. Does the timing of this confuse you in the way it does me? Sacha.
Oh, no, not in the least bit, because no matter what the stats say, it's very difficult to fire somebody off of a win. And that's the issue, right? The Giants won before their bye week. So you go into the bye week with a win, even though the offensive performance wasn't good, you won. And you self-scout, you say, wow, we were 31st in the NFL last year. We're 31st really under Jason Garrett even this year on his whole time combined. But we won. And now that you get a loss, this loss exposes things. After games that are won, you don't look back and say, man, we could have done this, this, or that. You say we won. Now, the good teams, like the Patriots, and Nico will attest to this, even in wins, it seems like a bad day because you evaluate every tiny little thing that went wrong, even though we won the game. But now with the Giants, we're seeing what happened is, okay, we lost the game. We need answers, and we need them now. And right now, one of our problems has been our offensive coordinator. So let's get rid of him, and maybe we'll see if we can find a solution. Maybe Freddie Kitchens. Maybe Joe Judge calling plays. And if that's not the solution, maybe there's a different problem. Maybe it's Daniel Jones.
Does this feel like the let's talk about Daniel Jones here for a minute. We just showed how he has regressed statistically under Jason Garrett. There's been a million factors in this, but at the end of the day, he's the guy standing in the middle of it all with the football in his hands. Mm-hmm. If you were making this decision, Nico, do you think Daniel Jones would be your quarterback next year in New York?
No, I don't think he'll be there next year. But and I also want to be fair to him. I feel like it's been a modgepodge of different coaching staffs and coordinators. And when you have that, it's difficult, especially as a young player, that you get thrust into a position where you're supposed to be the savior, go out there and throw tons of touchdowns and be perfect when there's a lot of dysfunction in that organization for a long time. They haven't had any stable play for a very long time. So, you know, I just think as an organization, they're probably going to say, okay, let's start fresh. Let's start over. Let's pick our own guy moving forward.
Well, what does that mean, Kmart? Where are they starting fresh? I mean, does that mean the GM? Does that mean the head coach? Does that mean the quarterback? What is a fresh start going to look like?
I mean, at this point, couldn't you see everything on the table? Couldn't you see a new GM hired in the offseason? Couldn't you see a new head coach? You know, and a new quarterback? Only because at this point, you don't know what the hell you have anywhere. You don't know about Daniel Jones. I mean, I hear you, Aningo, that's a great point about rookie and young quarterbacks, because the coaching, the GM, how he constructs the roster, that affects you. But what I will say is that 49 touchdowns to 49 turnovers, that cannot be all on Jason Garrett. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Like, at some point, like, and I mentioned this in the first hour, this feels very Sam Darnold-y, and that's the only way I can describe it, which is terrible, because that is, if you're a Giants fan, you don't want any part of the uncertainty of a Sam Darnold, and that's where I feel like we're trending.
By that, you mean you just don't know if it's him or if it's all the things around him.
You can't make decisions like that. You got to know who your quarterback is and who you're going to build with.
I'll say it again. The most ridiculous stat of the entire NFL season is that Andrew Thomas, the left tackle, has more touchdown receptions this year than Kenny Galladay or Kadarius Toney, who were brought here to be the star receivers for the team. That right there tells you where the trouble is. Speaking of trouble, let's get to Chicago next. We'll just call them the Bad News Bears. What the actual heck is going on with the head coach there? We're talking about that coming up. Plus, the stakes could not be higher for Ohio State and Michigan this weekend. What happens if the Buckeyes lose? Can they still get in? We'll answer that question next. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back on Get Up. Let's take a peek at what happened last night. The LeBron-less Lakers at the Garden to take on the Knicks, and New York would start fast. Emmanuel quickly throwing it up, and Obi Toppin throwing it down. Toppin at 12 off the bench. Knicks by as many as 25 in the second quarter. LeBron out because he was suspended because of the events in Detroit. Meanwhile, this team's starting to work their way back in the second. That's Avery Bradley. He had 15. It was a 12-point Knick lead at halftime. Then the Lakers in transition. Russell Westbrook giving it up. Anthony Davis throwing it down. He had 20. It's a 3-point game. Just under 2 minutes left in the third now. Lakers down 5. Westbrook working. He had 18 of his 31 in the third. Lakers get within 2. Ensuing Knicks possession. No good. Now we're running the other way again. Westbrook, Carmelo. Yes, we're tied at 79. The Lakers would actually have a 2-point lead going to the fourth quarter, but the Knicks would own the fourth. Emmanuel quickly, 12 of his 14 coming in the fourth quarter. That one gave the Knicks a 9-point lead, and this one helps them turn out the lights. They avoid the collapse, and they hang on for the win to the delight of Spike Lee and Latrell Sprewell. So New York wins, and the Lakers are under 500. They're 9-10 on the season and 9th in the West. They've played 19 games this year. In 6 of them, they've trailed by at least 25 points. We will talk about them at length tonight on NBA Countdown 7 Eastern here on ESPN. Meanwhile, last night on ESPN, we were talking about this. The new CFP rankings, which came out, and there was no surprise at the top. Georgia remained at number 1 for a 4th consecutive week. They're going to play Georgia Tech and then Alabama for the SEC title. This was the big move, or a move, yesterday. Ohio State jumping up over Alabama after their 49-point win over Michigan State. C.J. Stroud threw for 6 touchdowns. Bama falls to 3. First time they've ever dropped despite coming off a win, but they're still in position to get what they want here. And then the really big story is the door opening for Cincinnati. They're the first Group of 5 team ever to sit in a top 4 spot. And I was watching that man, Luke Fickell, on the show last night here on ESPN talking about where they stand right now. They still have a big game in front of them. Georgia is going to get in. Let's not talk about them. Cincinnati, 66%. According to our analytics, that gives them the second best chance of anybody to make it. And so as you look at the rest of the numbers on your screen, I want to bring Heather and Paul and Sacho back in here. And Heather, let's just start there, because I think there are a lot of us that are rooting for the little guy here, if you will. And Cincinnati is in that role. And our analytics say they have a 66% chance to make it. What is the scenario in which Cincinnati wins out and still doesn't get in?
They have to be concerned about Oklahoma State finishing as a one-loss Big 12 champion. The conference championship games have the ability to change the picture. We've seen it before. In the very first college football playoff rankings, TCU dropped from number 3 to number 6. So when you look at Oklahoma State, they can punctuate their resume with possibly two top 10, two 15, top 15 wins because they've got Oklahoma coming up in Bedlam. They'll either play Oklahoma or Baylor in the Big 12 championship game, and that is better than what Cincinnati can end its resume with against number 24 Houston. Now, not bad, right? But it's not great, and it could change the picture. But Cincinnati's in a great spot, and things have continued to work out for them so far this season.
Right now, Cincinnati's strength of record is number 2 in the country on my beloved sheet here. So, Paul, let me just get a take from you on that. If they win out and they don't wind up getting in, what will the voice of college sports, Paul Feinbaum, say about it?
Well, I think at this point I'd probably be upset, Greeny. I haven't been the biggest fan of Cincinnati early on because of their schedule, but I think they're really doing what they have to do, and they do have a quality game coming up, and they don't have any losses. And I know last year should not influence this year. It doesn't, but Cincinnati ran the table last year, too. At some point, this committee has to give some recognition to quality play, and they're starting to do it. But if they pull the rug back, there's going to be a lot of controversy.
All right, let me then jump to the Big Ten guys here because I have so many things I want to get in with these guys in a limited time. Sacho, you were asking during our break for a statistic from Hembo. I have it right here. Michigan, Ohio State this weekend. Michigan has been outrushed by 736 yards in 5 games against Ohio State under Jim Harbaugh. Give me a reason to think this weekend will be different. Ohio State has dominated this matchup in, frankly, for the last 2 decades. Is there a reason to believe this weekend will be different?
Yeah, well, there's 2 reasons. One is Aiden Hutchinson. The other one is David Ojabo. Those 2 defensive ends that both have 10 sacks for Michigan. I think if they can get after the quarterback, that will slow down Ohio State's passing attack. Ohio State has a 6th-ranked passing offense in college football. But people sleep on Michigan's pass defense. Michigan's pass defense is number 8. Remember last week when Ohio State blew out Michigan State? Michigan State had the worst-ranked pass defense in college football, in all of college football. For Michigan, their pass defense is a strength. And so if their outside linebacker / defensive ends, who both have 10 sacks, can get to the quarterback, can slow down C.J. Stroud, and then if Michigan can find a way to run the ball, I think that's the formula to find a way to get a win.
Well, then let me come back to Paul, because it's not a Wednesday on this program if I don't ask Paul a Jim Harbaugh question. What do we think? Is this the year? Is this the week he finally does it?
No, no, no. Greeny, you can ask me this question until I'm 150, and the answer is still no. I don't think this Michigan team, although they are better than they have been, significantly better, can beat Ohio State. This is a really good, if not great, Ohio State team. And I think there's something in Jim Harbaugh's brain. I don't know what it is. I don't really want to know. He has he is incapable, Greeny, of beating his biggest rival.
We'll find out this weekend. And then, Heather, let me circle it all the way back to you. And we had some Alabama stuff ready to go in here. But I think I want to ask you a general question here, which is this a year that we will see a 2-loss team get in? We talked about how this is an unusual season with all these different things. Is this a chance? Alabama is the one on our screen, and that was the first place I was thinking. Is this going to be the first time that a 2-loss team gets in? And if so, which do you think is the likeliest team to do it?
Ooh, look, if Alabama loses to Auburn on Saturday, it has to win the SEC. And if it does, then you definitely see a 2-loss SEC champ in the top 4. But Greeny, my gut says we don't see it this year because I think that you still have a 1-loss Notre Dame out there with a chance. You have undefeated Cincinnati. You're going to have the Big Ten champion. I don't think we're going to see a 2-loss Big Ten champion. And then, of course, there's 1-loss Oklahoma State and currently 1-loss Oklahoma in the mix. So my answer to that is no, but you know, I've been wrong once before.
Well, we'll see, but not often. that's for sure. Hey, Paul, super quick for you on that. If this was last year and Notre Dame was in a conference, they'd be in much better shape, right? If they still had a conference championship game to play and their season wasn't ending this weekend, they'd be in much better chance here, would they?
They would be because they had that win at Clemson. That's Notre Dame's own fault because they end the season with Stanford. That's not going to help them at all. The USC game. Notre Dame's schedule really involved a couple of teams early in the season, and the Cincinnati loss is haunting them. They have no one to blame but themselves, Greedy. Get out of this independent mode, Notre Dame. You're in the ACC and everything else but hockey and football, and you're costing yourself a shot here.
Heather and Paul, you're the best. A very happy Thanksgiving to both of you and your families. We always appreciate you getting up with us here with all of the insight. We'll take a short break. We got more to do as we continue. Coming up next, booze for Baker. And he's not happy about it. We'll tell you why Mayfield may have made a huge mistake by the lake. Plus, can Mac Jones actually lead the Patriots to the Super Bowl? We're talking about that with our former Patriot coming up next. And speaking of Rob Ninkovich, we got Sneaky Hembo ready for him. Here we go. Which player recorded the most sacks playing for Bill Belichick as a head coach? Ooh, I wonder if Ninko is the answer. We'll find out next. To get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, here we go. Back on Get Up. I like this question. Which player has recorded the most sacks playing for Bill Belichick? And we specify as a head coach because otherwise it would have brought Lawrence Taylor into the conversation.
Yeah. So I got this.
You think you got it?
I think I do.
Let me hear it.
Mike Vrabel.
That's right.
Mike Vrabel.
That is correct.
Yes!
Mike Vrabel is right.
I was close behind him, too. So I knew it was Vrabel because then I was thinking Richard Seymour.
Who do you think is second?
Me.
That's correct.
Yes.
Rob Ninkovich is second. He had 48. Ninkovich, 46.
Yeah.
Anthony Pleasant had 40. And
yes.
Richard Seymour had 39.
Yes.
Mike Vrabel, now the coach of the Titans.
I wanted to play for one more year, get two more to tie it.
All right. That is very well done. Meanwhile, let's go buy or sell here around the NFL. Kimberly, buying or selling Sunday at the Ravens as a must-win for the Browns?
Oh, Greeny, this is definitely buying this. I mean, here's the thing. If the Browns lose this game, what are we gonna be saying about their playoff chances? We're going to say they have no chance. So this is huge. Big day for Baker and company.
They actually have the Ravens in their next two games.
Yep.
With a bye in between. Sacho, you're next. Buying or selling the Packers bouncing back big with a win against the Rams?
I'm buying. We're talking about the Packers bouncing back. We forgot the Rams lost a couple games in a row. The Rams need to bounce back. I think the Packers are going to win this game. I think Aaron Rodgers, no matter which toe it is, he's going to be fine. I think the Packers' defense is going to be fine as well. The Rams are still trying to find their stride. Green Bay has, so I'm buying that Green Bay bounces back.
Oh, I like it. And Ninko, how about you? Buying or selling the Patriots, handing the Titans their second straight loss?
I'm going to buy it. The Patriots are playing very,
shocking.
Very,
I am shocked by this answer. Okay, way to go out on a limb.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get back to the Patriots because they're playing very good. Very disciplined. They're running the football. Their defense is number one in the NFL for a reason. Going with them beating the Titans.
Well, they've won all these games in a row. And I'm with you. I'm very into the Patriots right now, if you will. But we're going to find out about them in the next four games. And that all will be revealed, if you will, on the Patriots. Because in their next four, you see it. They've got the Titans. Then they're at Buffalo. Then they're at the Colts, who are right now playing great. And then they get the Bills again. So we will know everything there is to know about the Patriots by the time we get to the new year, literally speaking. And then you see they finish up with two games they should be expected to win. So in a season where nothing seems to be certain, I mean, who's really good? What is the best team in the AFC is the question I've asked the group here. And by that, I guess I mean, which team do you trust the most? Kmart, I'll start with you. In the landscape of the AFC, who's the team?
I hate this question. So I decided because every week it changes. And I decided I was going to go out on a limb and I was going to shock the world. And I was going to say, you know what? The Kansas City Chiefs.
Really?
That's who I'm going to say, because everybody seems to be riding off Patrick Mahomes. And I love Patrick, but he's like, okay, keep that same energy. I love that. I trust Patrick Mahomes. Even when he plays terrible, I still believe in him because he's one of the greatest players that we have in the game today. I think the Chiefs, the second half of the season, I think they're going to turn it around.
So. Now, their defense obviously has been playing much better, especially last week. Sacho, how about you? What's the best team in the AFC?
Hey, Kimberly, you're not going out on any limbs. The Chiefs are right now playing like the best team in the AFC. The last 4 weeks, their little win streak we're talking about, they've averaged giving up 11.75 points in these last four games. The first part of the season, it was 29. Their defense is playing much, much better. Their defense is what's keeping them in a lot of these games. And so right now, they're playing like one of the, if not the best team in the AFC.
Yeah, they have a good celebration, that's for sure. Ninko, I don't even know why I bother asking
y'all want to talk about defense. Let's talk about defense. Let's talk about the Patriots defense. And they're the number one defense in the NFL for a reason. And I had dinner with Kyle Vannoy the other day. You know what he told me? He said, in the next couple weeks, we'll find out too. I said, yeah, we will, because that's what I said. I said, in the next 2 weeks to 4 weeks, like you said 4 weeks, I say two.
Because
this matchup against the Titans, that's going to be a big test. The next matchup against the Bills, that's going to be another test for them. And if they can win those two games, they are clearly the best team in the AFC. And I think that the Patriots and what they've been able to do offensively, running the football, which is setting the tone, and they're the tougher team. They're the toughest team in the NFL.
Are you just worried Bill's going to text you if you pick a different team besides,
does Bill
besides
text?
Patriots? You know who, is that what
yes,
it is?
He
just
does.
Say that.
He does text. In Bill, I trust. So I'm going with who do I trust the most?
Does Bill use emojis when he texts?
No, it's more like, hey.
That's a nice green suit.
I don't need to have had dinner with any players on the Patriots to agree with you, actually, because the question, I wanted to phrase it this way. Who do I trust? The Patriots have three things that travel, if you will. They play defense, they run the football, and they have the best coach.
Yeah.
And those are the three things that I count down. But, so I'll count on. So when I can't make up my mind about how good anybody is, I'll bet on those three things.
But they know, too, that the next 4 weeks are a test.
November,
they know
December,
it.
That's all.
Because Bill's
about
telling them, listen, what we've done the last 5 weeks doesn't mean anything.
Does he use punctuation when he texts?
Very, very punctual, yes.
Yeah.
Like exclamation points? Is
it's more just a, hey, comma.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like he texts. He just seems like someone who would text with punctuation.
What? When he finishes a text, he always finishes it with Bill B. Like, you know,
really, he signs
that's
his
fantastic
text.
Bill B, yes.
Are we surprised? No, not
I
at all.
I really like
no
that.
I mean, you got to know who you're talking to, right? You got to know.
Right. This is good information. He's having dinner with Kyle Vannoy. He's texting Bill Belichick.
Not
we've
recent,
got an insider
season,
here.
I let him do his
as
thing.
Mike Reese has got some competition. Okay. Let's go on the clock. I'm putting 30 seconds on the clock for everybody. Kmart, I'll start with you. The Eagles have won two straight. They have five divisional games left on their schedule, and they do not have to get on an airplane the rest of the season. Are the Eagles a playoff team? 30 seconds, go.
No, and I'm just saying this to tick off Hembo. No, I think they have the potential to be one because of the schedule. But really, when you look at the teams they've beaten, they've lost to San Francisco. They've lost to Dallas. They've lost to the Chiefs. Like, I think this is a team that's on the rise. I actually think they might falter the second half, but next year will be their year.
At some point, well, who the quarterback will be next year is a fascinating one. Do you believe they've seen enough in Jalen Hurts that they are ready to go forward with him?
I think we've seen enough. Will the Eagles not do something? I'm not convinced of that.
That's what I keep hearing from everybody, is they're not totally sold yet. All right, Ninko, I'm coming to you. Which AFC team that is not right now in the playoff picture do you believe will get in? 30 seconds, go.
Colts. Easy. This one's the Colts. They have Jonathan Taylor. This guy's got 600 yards rushing in the last six games. I mean, he is an absolute beast. So when you talk about physical running, you talk about setting the tone, they just went up against a good defense.
Yeah.
And they basically just pushed them all over the field, ran all over them. So when you can do that, when you can run the football with that much success, you're taking a lot of pressure off your quarterback. I think they're going to be able to make a nice push here and get in the playoffs.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor was just named the AFC Offensive Player of the Week for that performance. They were so good, they made everybody question the Bills. Like literally, they were so good that he came out of that game saying, is Buffalo done? We'll see.
Exactly.
Sacho, you're next. Baker Mayfield, struggling of late. Should the Browns be considering benching him for Case Keenum? 30 seconds, go.
No, they should not. The Browns should be considering relying on their running game, relying on their defense, trying to keep Baker healthy. He had a bad interception early in last week's game, but he came back and found a way to win the game. The Browns are probably going to be in a lot of tight games. And so Baker Mayfield can be your quarterback in these tight games. Now, if he gets injured even more, obviously you're going to have to make a change, but you should not be thinking of that right now.
Agreed.
You know what?
Agreed.
I want to live in this for a minute. I'm going to fight this. You know what, Stick? I don't even want to play the sound. He complained about the booing last week, and I thought he sounded terrible doing it. But let's actually live in this conversation for a minute. Players sometimes need to be protected from themselves. I never expect a football player, whatever it is you might think of Baker Mayfield, I do not question his toughness.
Right.
He's out there fighting for his team because that's what football players do. But at some point, you are too hurt to be helping your team. And as I watch him right now, it appears to me he has reached that point. He's had the labrum all season long. He's got a knee. He's like the walking wounded out there. And Case Keenum has proved to be capable in this offense. I would be making this move right now, Kimberly, for everybody's good, including Baker's.
I disagree. I think to make that move is pretty myopic, actually. I think.
In what regard?
Because people are going to look at it and say, well, Case Keenum beat Denver on a Thursday night, so clearly he can, like, there's...
Case Keenum took the Minnesota Vikings to the NFC Championship game with Kevin Stefanski as the offensive coordinator. The last time he was a starter.
Okay. But when I look at this team, I don't, like, to Sam Acho's point, this isn't a team where we ask Baker to do a ton, right? Like, it is predicated on the run. When you talk to defensive coordinators, the first thing they say is, we have to stop the run. We got to stop Hunt. We got to stop Nick Chubb. So the issue to me isn't really the quarterback. But I think with Baker, it's up here, too. It's not just physical. I think
accuracy as well. There's been a lot of throws. You're like, what the heck was that?
And that's an injury because he has been an accurate quarterback.
Exactly.
That's because he's not healthy. You tell me that the non-throwing shoulder doesn't make any difference to a guy trying to throw a pass.
I think
it's
the whole thing. You put the whole thing together because when you're throwing, you're trying to wrench your body around. But as far as the quarterback play goes, I think Keenum, just like you said about them being a running team, they're a run-first team. Well, when Keenum's in there, he understands, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm supposed to do. Hand the ball off, hit these third and five manageable down
Baker
distances.
Baker needs to try to not do too much. He's just got to just settle into this offense and just hit guys that are open. Like,
It'd be really hard to do that when you just see your value just slowly dwindling down.
And you know what else is dwindling down? Is a team that has a loaded roster with a chance to do a lot of special things this year. Sacha, I'll come back to you. You began the conversation by saying, no, you wouldn't bench him. You just said, let's see if he gets injured even further. I'm not sure how much more hurt he could get and still be standing upright. Because he has, and again, I'm not making excuses for him. These are legitimate injuries that look to me, just to my eyes as one who's watched the game all my life, like they have impacted his play to the point where he is a shell of himself. That's what I feel like I'm seeing, Sacho. You don't see that?
I don't see that because of I guess I don't see that, number one. But what I do see is this. If you put Case Keenum in there, does Case Keenum give you, the Cleveland Browns, a better chance to beat the Baltimore Ravens? That's the question you got to ask yourself, not just this week, but also in 2 weeks when you play them again. And I don't think the answer is yes. I think the answer is, no matter who's back there at quarterback, we are going to be a run-first team. We lead the NFL in rushing yards, rushing attempts. That's who we are. We're going to be a defensive-minded team. Yes, I mentioned there were some bad interceptions. Last week, there was a really, really bad interception by Baker. But Case Keenum is not going to go out there and turn into Patrick Mahomes. Right? That's not who he's going to be in this offense. So what you need to do is protect the ball. Do not turn it over. Rely on your running game like we talked about. And then defensively, everyone around Baker needs to step up. That's the way that this team is constructed. That's the way this team is built. And I don't think that putting Case Keenum in there gives you a significantly better opportunity to beat Baltimore or to win this division.
So everyone disagrees with me, and I will just say it before, and I'll say it again.
Ninko agrees with you, right?
Then you can join me on this.
I agree.
Like most geniuses, we will not be fully appreciated until long after our time. What a great Thanksgiving lineup we have coming for you this weekend. It starts tonight. We got Steph and the best team in basketball, the Warriors, on ESPN. Second game of our doubleheader tonight. It's going to be great NBA action. Tomorrow night, we got the Egg Bowl. That's Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Big game. Friday night, hockey rivals, Rangers and Bruins. That game's on ABC. And then Saturday, it's the Bedlam game, which means everything in this playoff chase here, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. So just enjoy all the sports all weekend with us here on ESPN. Coming up, we got a mess in the Windy City. Just when you thought it couldn't get worse, it has. What's going on there? What's going on with the coach? We'll get to the bottom of it all next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back, and our next stop is Chicago, where the Bears have lost five straight. They go to Andy Dalton this week because Justin Fields has a rib injury. Yesterday, in the meantime, their head coach Matt Nagy had to take time to address his job status after a report that he's been told he's going to be fired this week.
Matt, there's a report today that you've been informed that this will be your last game as president.
That is not accurate. You know, I have not, I have great communication with ownership, with George and Ted and Ryan, but I have not had any discussions. Again, my focus right now is on these players and on Detroit. That's my job as a head coach and a leader, is to do that.
What a mess. I mean, this is a place where sometimes NFL coaches find themselves and you know, that day comes and it feels like it's coming. And actually, our coordinating producer, John Fink, just sort of said in my ear, and I will turn to the voice of Chicago sports here, Joliet's own Rob Ninkovich, like, welcome to the NFL, Justin Fields. You know, I mean, think about all the ups and downs that have taken place from the moment he got drafted to will he play, to the training camp, to everything. He plays, he's hurt. Now the coach is dead man walking, which is a horrible expression, but it's sort of the only way to sum it up. How do you think, if at all, this might impact the development of the young quarterback around whom everything depends?
I think whoever is next is going to have a big impact on his future and how he develops. So if you look at the Chicago Bears and you look at their organization, that is a very big market. That's a great location if you're a coach looking to come to another place and you have a young player quarterback in place that seems to be the future. So for what we've seen so far, if you are a coach, I don't know, I'll say Josh McDaniels or something, that's an offensive mind, and you have a guy like that in place, you have to be salivating to think, wow, I could go to Chicago with a kid like that in place and I could really come in with whatever I want to run. So if you're Fields, you're probably sitting there like, okay, if this all this stuff's true and this head coach is gone, I really want a good one to come in, an offensive mind to come in and help me.
Well, that's an interesting one to me. And a variety, and Sacho, again, you played for Matt Nagy, and I know you like him and all the rest of that. And so this is where they find themselves here. But they don't have a first-round pick this coming season. They traded it to go up and get Justin Fields. But they have him, and that is an asset that a lot of potential coaches might like. How do you see the situation in Chicago going forward?
Yeah, well, before we go forward, we have to go backwards. I think the situation with Matt Nagy is that he was brought in to help fix the offense, right? 2017, the Bears had a top 10 defense. 2018, Matt Nagy, and they also had a quarterback, a first-round quarterback in Mitch Trubisky, who wasn't used very effectively. 2018, he comes from Kansas City, supposed to be this quarterback guru, and it doesn't. And the team in 2018 was good, but a lot of that was based off of the number one defense, not only that year, but the best defense the NFL had seen in a couple years, right? That was 2018. And then 2019 happens, and it doesn't go good with Mitch, right? The team is 8-8. 2020, once again, you bring in Nick Foles. You bench Mitch after 1 or 2 weeks. It doesn't work with Mitch or with Nick Foles. And now we're in 2021. You have another quarterback, first-round pick, and it hasn't worked. And so the issue with in Chicago with Matt Nagy is the fact that your job was to come and fix the offense. And outside of 2018, the offense has not been fixed. So that's a problem currently. Now, moving forward, you have to, before you go forward, once again, you went past, now you got to go present. Presently, the team is built to win right now. You traded away draft picks to go get Khalil Mack. You traded away draft picks to go get Mitch Trubisky. You have a lot of older defensive players, right? Robert Quinn, Akeem Hicks, Danny Trevathan, a lot of players who are on that team to win right now. So, yes, it might sound exciting and salivating to get a new coach in there and say, hey, I'm going to got this young quarterback. But the team isn't really built to win later. The team is built to win now.
That's an interesting thought. They were a win-now team, which is why they gave the coach one more year to try and prove it. And obviously, this is where they sit now, 3-7, heading in. What are you hearing from around the league about Chicago?
He's an offensive guru who has a terrible offense. Like,
yeah.
You know? Like
With two different quarterbacks. Candidly, three of them if you include Foles.
So when you talk to people around the league, it's a matter of when he's let go, not if. Everybody kind of sees. And even when you watch his body language, like, if you're a player watching, like, did you really feel confident when he's like, oh, I've got a great relationship with ownership? Like, no, like, I haven't had any conversations with them at all.
Yeah. No, like, this situation feels.
No, it's like we're nearing the end. And you're talking about young quarterbacks and changes in regimes and stuff like that. Like, if you change this front office and head coach, like, you've got to also understand that that does put Justin Fields behind the eight ball as far as learning somebody else, trusting that somebody else will like this quarterback and build for him because you saw an offensive guru who hasn't done that to this point.
Well, I mean, do you just drive a truck filled with money to Columbus, Ohio, and ask Ryan Day to come coach him? Ryan Day coached him in college and all the rest of that, Sacho. I mean, that's going to, right? His name comes up for NFL jobs regularly. I have no idea. I'm not reporting anything. I have no idea if he's interested, but that would be the first thing I would do is I would put as much money as you can fit into a truck, and I would drive it to Columbus and see if Ryan Day will take it from me. What do you think?
Yeah, that would definitely make sense just from a quarterback perspective. But this team is bigger than just the quarterback. Mm-hmm. This team needs to be constructed differently. This team, you think about it, Danny Trevathan is injured. He's on IR right now, probably not going to come back. Akeem Hicks, who's their defensive star, was injured. Khalil Mack injured. All these guys. And offensively, you got Allen Robinson, who hasn't played up to standard for whatever reason. Maybe it's quarterback, maybe it's otherwise. You have an offensive line who everyone said has been bad. And so even if you come and bring in Ryan Day and you come and figure out the quarterback situation, you have issues at receiver. You have a running back. You have issues at offensive line. You have issues on defense. There are so many bigger problems than just one player on the Chicago Bears football team if you're thinking about building for the future.
I think that's right. No, it's a rebuilding job, but the most important piece of it is going to be get the quarterback right. Let me take you through the NBA action from last night real quick here. Let me run the floor. The Knicks almost blew a 25-point lead over the LeBron-less Lakers last night, but thanks to a rally in the fourth quarter, they pulled away to win it 106-100. LeBron was serving a one-game suspension from that altercation in Detroit on Sunday. Meanwhile, back in Los Angeles, Paul George hit a game-time three to send the Clippers game with the Mavericks into overtime. But then Luka Doncic, coming back from injury, was getting things done. And Kristaps Porzingis had the really big night. He had 30, and the Mavs wound up winning it 112-104. Jalen Rose was in attendance last night as Tyler Hero brought the Heat for Miami, rattling off a game-high 31. The Heat came back to beat the Pistons 100-92. Heat now 12-6, second best in the East. And in Portland, smooth sailing for the Blazers. They rolled to a dominant win over Denver. C.J. McCollum, Damian Lillard combining for 57. Nikola Jokic sitting out his third straight game with a wrist injury. Meanwhile, we got a good doubleheader coming your way tonight. We'll start the evening 7 Eastern with NBA Countdown, getting you set for the Celtics and Nets. So that's KD and Harden and Tatum and everybody. And then the best team in basketball, Steph and the Warriors, taking on the Sixers. Again, we'll begin your night 7 Eastern with NBA Countdown right here on ESPN. Top of the hour, First Take is coming your way. Are the Lakers too reliant on LeBron? And how concerned should the Packers be about Aaron Rodgers' toe? First Take, Molly, Stephen A., Marcus, and Kendrick Perkins. Top of the hour here on ESPN.